Welcome to the Unstoppable Success Podcast, where we spotlight visionary leaders who have mastered the art of growth, purpose, and powerful connections. I'm your host, Jacqueline Strominger, connector, high performance coach, and creator of the Leap to Your Success framework and Two Steps to Yes. Each week, we dive into bold insights, real conversations, and powerful strategies to fuel your growth, deepen your relationships, and ignite transformational momentum. And why? Because you were meant to be unstoppable. Now, let's leap into the podcast. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another amazing episode of Unstoppable Success. I am your host, Jacqueline Strominger. And on this podcast, we hear from amazing leaders and professionals in our world who have had great results and have game-changing insights on how to be unstoppable. And today I have a great guest, Nikki Ballou. And let me tell you a little bit about Nikki, because I was on his podcast and he has an amazing, amazing show. And his podcast is the Thought Leader Revolution podcast, but he is a podcast host. He works with coaches, he works with consultants, and he really believes that entrepreneurs are society's greatest heroes, and he loves helping these entrepreneurs and our amazing heroes get over their fear of being too salesy, which we all have that, I think everybody does, and have them embrace sales, an act of deep love and service. He's been a guest on over 700 podcasts, and he is an expert on guesting. So, Nikki, thank you for being here and sharing your insight and wisdoms with our listeners. So welcome.
Thank you, Jacqueline. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So I want to ask, not everybody starts off coming out of the womb, being great in sales. So how did you get to this point, like where you actually can, be as great as you are with helping people get over that?
Great question. So let me answer that by telling you my backstory.
Okay.
So I'm originally an immigrant from the Middle East. I'm a Christian from Iran. Now, when I was 11 years old, the Islamic Revolution took place in Iran, and there were literal gun battles in the streets near my home. My mom and dad are like, this isn't so cool. And then one day, an object sailed through our living room window, smashing the glass and landed right next to my feet. And I looked at it and I didn't know what it was. It was a bottle with a burning wick, a Molotov cocktail. My dad rushes to me, grabs it, and pulls out the wick. Saved my life. And he turns the bottle over, still full of gasoline. And there's a note taped to it. On the note, it said, "Die, Christian scum." And my mom and dad are like, this is not going to work to raise a family, raise a Christian family, none most of all. So they started to think, we got to get out of here. It took them 2 years. They got us out of Tehran, Iran, and we went to another capital city, Athens, Greece. And we were there for 2 more years, and then we left Athens, Greece, and we moved to Toronto, Canada, where I now live, the capital of Ontario, although not of Canada itself.
Yeah.
And this period, 11 to about almost 15, I'm a kid, right? I don't want to leave my home. I don't want to leave my friends. Maybe you can relate being that age and like having friends that you want to be with forever. And the truth of the matter is, though, as time went on, Jacqueline, I saw the nobility of mom and dad's sacrifice. They left behind their world, everything they knew, everyone they knew, for a chance, not a guarantee, but a chance at a better life for me and my two younger brothers. And I started to see they took us from a legacy of tyranny to a legacy of freedom. I believe, Jacqueline, inside every human breast beats the living heart of freedom. Every man, every woman on this planet yearns to breathe free, to march to the tune of their own drummer, to chart their own course. And if you're an entrepreneur, freedom is all that allows you to be an entrepreneur. Without freedom, you can't have free thought. Without free thought, there's no free expression. Without free expression, there's no free enterprise. Then you got to lick a tyrant's boot just to get a few crumbs in order to survive. And my dad, in particular, was an entrepreneur, and he was a heart-driven, and he sold. He sold. I mean, all entrepreneurs are salesmen and saleswomen, right? We all are. And if you knew him and you were looking for a job, dad would clear his calendar, sit you in his office, and call all his buddies and ethically manipulate them till one of them got you a job. If you were trying to start a business, he'd clear his calendar, sit down, listen to you, give you good advice, give you good contacts within his network to get you access to capital and even clients. And if you were his friend and you were trying to buy a car or a house and the bank would only give you so much, because that used to happen in Iran a lot, you need an extra 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, 10, 20,000. You'd go to him and you'd go, "Hey, Mr. Balloon, Napoleon." His name was Napoleon, regal name, right? So, and they go, "Listen, I need some money. I got to buy this car, this house." That's all the bank gave. He says, "How much do you need?" 1,000, 5,000, 20,000. You write a check. You go buy that car or house. And then people would go to him a year, two, 3 years later with money that they'd saved up to pay him back. And they go, "Here you go." He said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm paying you back." And you go, "That was a gift." No, it was a loan. "It was a gift. Don't insult me." And then they go, "What am I supposed to do with this money?" He said, "Find someone who was as badly off as you were and give
And
it to them."
pay it forward.
And he would look at them sternly until they said, "Okay, I'll do that," right? And people go to me. They said, "Nikki, come on. This isn't real. Nobody's really like that. What are you talking about?" And I said, "No, man, my dad was really like that." "Why? What's in it for him?" And I go, "That's a good question. I'll tell you the answer. First and foremost, he was a devout and committed Christian. He believed that he'd been blessed by God and his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that it was his duty to share those blessings with others, right? And this is something that's in the Judeo-Christian tradition. You know, you practice the Jewish faith, right? And you are directed that if you have blessings, to share those with other people. That's a fact of what you do. And, you know, people who are not of faith can't get that, but people who are of faith instantly understand that. And the second reason he did it was, well, he could. He was successful. He had money. And I wanted to be like my dad. I wanted people to look up to me. I'm a kid, right? A dad would always tell me, "Son, life is about people, not money. Business, son, is about people, not money." And I go, "Dad, how's that possible? You need money to do business, right?" He said, "True, but you need people to need money. What is business? You solve problems for people for a profit."
Right.
Imagine a Venn diagram: problems, people, profit. Where all three intersect, that's the purpose of business. And my father would say to me, "Son, you know what your competitive advantage in life is?" Though he didn't use that phrase. I'm paraphrasing for him. I said, "No." And he says, "You're a Bilu. And we Bilus, we love people and we believe in people." He said, "Believe in people. That woman in front of you, that's someone's daughter, that's someone's sister, that's someone's wife, that's someone's mother. She's a hero to somebody. And maybe someone just like you let her down in life or in business. It's your job to restore her faith in humanity. It's your job on the days where she lacks belief to show her you believe in her. Because that little spark of belief you give her can turn into a roaring fire, and then she's off into the races." And people always ask me, "Nikki, man, like, you're good at sales. You got charisma, you got good sales techniques. You're a thought leader. You know how to help people develop personal brands. You're an expert in podcast guesting. Like, tell us your stories. Tell us your techniques. We want to know the stuff. We want to know the secrets, the secret sauce." And I tell them, "All that's true, but none of that is the real secret sauce." They go, "Well, what's the real secret sauce?" And I tell them, "I'm glad you asked. The real secret sauce is I'm Napoleon Bilou's son. God rest his soul. I believe in people. I love people. And I pour into people. When someone comes into my company, yes, I teach them about podcast guesting. Yes, I teach them how to do heart-based, love-based selling, and we can get into what all that is. Yes, I show them how to develop a personal brand, a thought leader brand, how to be seen as an authority, and I show them how to expand their income to like mid six figures, seven figures, even eight figures. But the number one thing I do for people is I love them and I believe in them and I pour into them. And I do that to an extent that shocks our clients. And I do that with my beloved. It's not me on my own because she's even more that way than I am. And our clients say to us, there's folks who've stayed with us and they say to us, like, I've asked people, I've done surveys, like, why have you stayed with us? Why did you sign up with us? Why do you keep staying with us? They said, you're good. You deliver results and, your stuff's good. But they say, I get you really care about me. I get you give a good gosh darn. I got to tell you, that is what I'm most proud of. I'm Napoleon Belou's son. I care about people. And that is my true competitive advantage in the marketplace.
And something that you said, it's because we don't start off as salespeople, but it's not to thinking that you're a salesperson. And I love what you said, which is really, and this is for anything. If you're in sales, you're actually helping people solve something. As you said, it's problem, people, profit, right? And that's that Venn diagram is if you can keep that in your mind. Maybe you put it on a card on your computer or put it on your wall. But at the end of the day, first and foremost, every single one of us, I don't care what job you have, mother, father, sister, brother, car, wash attendant, you are in sales in some way, shape, or form. Everybody is. And the end of the day, though, it all comes down to how you make the other person feel, and if you feel that if you're helping them care, that they think that you care because you want to care, but you really have to care. Because if you don't really, if it's not coming from the heart, people will see that. And you need to believe that.
100%. 100%. 100%. I mean, the buyers evolved. The old Fuller Brush kind of charlatan marketer. They're the enemy. The charlatan marketers, they're the enemy. They're the ones who go and they just don't care. They want to get their hand in your wallet and that's all they care about. They don't care if they deliver or not. I want to deliver. I want your life to be better because you know me. I want your business to be better because you're under my care. And that's
Right.
super, super important.
People do you, when you're working with them, come to you knowing that like help, not that you do it, but that they need to do it for others?
A lot of people in their heart and soul, there's a knowing of this, but it isn't necessarily something that has traveled into their head. You know what I mean? And we really curate our programs. Like we used to take people because we were growing a business, and sometimes we'd take the wrong people. We don't do that anymore. I'll tell you a story. We have a client of ours, a current client. Her name's Courtney. And she used to be in a Fortune 500 bank. She had a high level position. She made really good money. She came to us, as a coach who helps people under the C-suite get placed into C-suite type jobs, like because a lot of these people plateaued. And Courtney was having a hard time getting traction for a while. And we sat with Courtney and we said, she says, I don't want to be one of these people that's like pushy and whatever. And I go, Courtney, let me ask you a question. I said, have you ever in your life been one of those people, even for 1 second? She said, no. She like recoiled in horror. I said, then why do you put that thought in your head? Is it remotely possible you will ever be that person? She said, no. I said, then can we agree that we're not going to bring that up ever again? Because that is not you and that is never going to be you. She said, okay. And I said to her, what do you think you need to focus on? She said, I don't know. I think you're about to tell me. I said, you need to focus on them. Don't put the attention on you and what's going on with you and this and that and how they're going to think of you. Put the attention on that person. Is that person someone that you are uniquely suited to help? If the answer is no, don't make him an offer. If the answer is yes, do not make him an offer and take a bold stand for them to work with you. What do you mean? Be pushy? I go, no, not be pushy. Never be pushy, but take a bold stand. She says, what does a bold stand look like? And I said, if that woman who is like a assistant vice president and has been in that same job for 5 years is sitting with you and going, I really want to be an EVP. I want to be a C-suite leader. And, this is why I'm coming to see you. And these are all the things that I think have gotten in my way. And you know exactly how to help her. You got to make her an offer. She said, okay, but what if she says it's too much money? Or I gotta talk to my husband or whatever. I said, that's called an objection. She goes, yeah, I know what an objection is. I said, well, how do you handle that? I said, you don't deal with the actual objection. She says, you don't, what are you talking about? You don't talk about the money and then no. She says, what do you deal with then? I said, if that lady said to you, for example, it's too much money or I don't want to spend that much or whatever, the answer to that question is, I can appreciate that. You don't want to spend that much money, or you got to talk to your husband, or the sky will turn gray if you do if you don't wait before you do this. Other than that, is there any reason you wouldn't want to stop all the ineffective crap you've been doing that has had you stuck in this AVP job for 5 years and do something that's actually going to work to get you to be that C-suite leader you deserve to be right now? And I said, did you feel the boldness? She goes, yeah, I felt it. She said, I don't know if I can do that. I said, try it. So she tried it. And 3 days later, she had a call with somebody. And she said, oh my God, she signed up for the program. It's so great. It's so great. It's so great. I said, okay, what happened? She said, well, we talked and I made her the offer. And she came up with some story about an objection of something or another. And I don't recall exactly what the story was. And I did what she said. And it worked. After I said that to her, she said, well, when you put it like that, I sound pretty silly, don't I? She says, yeah, you do. Don't overthink it.
Right.
Visa or MasterCard. And when people
Oh, and but that's the other thing. Visa or MasterCard, take the money right away. Like, put the
take the
offer out
money
there.
right away, take the money right away. So when people are having a sales conversation with you, if they're not a good fit, you shouldn't be making an offer. I want to be really clear. And you should tell them that. But if they are a good fit, you got to hang in there with them with your offer. And you got to talk. You got to walk them past their fear. Because the only reason they're saying no to you, if they're a good fit, really, truly, is they're scared. Now, there are some instances where the person really has no business talking to you because they really have no money. But those are rare. Most of the time, it's too much money is code for it. I don't want to spend that kind of money because I'm scared or I'm not sure this is going to work. Really, that's all it's code for, right? It's not code for anything else. Because if they believed it was going to work, and if they were really focused on the dream, they would transcend the fear. And I'm in the transcending the fear business. Now, I had a call with someone today, myself, who potentially could use my help. But about 15 minutes into our call, I said, what are you doing that's working? And he said, well, I just started doing direct outreaches and I really just dialed it in today and I set up 3 appointments today. I said, you did? And he said, yeah. And I said to him, I said, I tell you what, you shouldn't invest in me today. He says, I shouldn't. I go, no. I said, let's give it 3 weeks and see if your efforts are really going to, like, if you got 3 appointments, keep making calls, keep having appointments. Let's see if you make any sales in the next 3 weeks. And if you do, and it's flowing nicely, don't invest in me right now. Maybe invest in me in 3 months or something. But keep your powder dry. But if it's not working in 3 weeks, then 1000% invest in this. Invest in yourself. Let's get this going for you. And Jacqueline, he's looking at me going, Did a sales guy just tell me not to buy from him?
That's honesty, and that two things really to you. A couple things that you have said, and I just kind of want to reiterate this. Number one is when you are making an offer to somebody. Number one, in the end of the day, is to make sure that they understand that when they're going to work with you, if they keep doing the same thing over and over on, and they're staying on the hamster wheel, do they want to stay on the hamster wheel, or do they want to actually get off? So you have to approach it in some way. Like, do you want to keep doing what you're doing, or do you want to make a change? Because if we keep doing this up, it's the definition of an insanity. You figure out a better, you as the person who's selling, find the words that are going to make it so that you can make that bold statement. If the person is not the right fit, do not try to even get them as a client, because the other big thing about that is the wrong fit does not make for a good result. And at
It
the end of
doesn't.
the day, you want to make sure that when somebody says your name, it's part of your brand, that you get the right result and that you feel good about it. It's really icky. It feels really icky when you bring somebody on that's not the right fit. So,
100%, 100%, 100%,
yeah. So,
100%.
Misty.
That's what I teach people too. And our people will only sign clients that are a good fit. And I do the same. And lead from love, and everything works out well.
Yeah.
Lead from what's in it for me.
Yeah.
Even if you make money, it's going to feel yucky.
Right. And I think I and the other thing is, we're not meant to help everybody. We're just meant to help the right people.
We are.
And something that you've said, like your story, which is super beautiful, is also knowing that where you're coming from, and where I think most people need to understand in general, is that if you can help somebody see a better, clearer way for a better life, or to do something a little bit better, it might be that maybe the program that you're offering is a shorter window. But if you can do something to help somebody, just even if it's a little bit and make a little difference, it's beautiful. But
It is.
don't do it just for the money. Do it also because you know that you can and you also want to. You want to help that person.
1,000%, Jacqueline.
So, Nikki, I mean, you know, people have different opinions, and so I'm curious, as you're working with people, because, you know, how do you help people? You know, as you even shared, like, see things maybe from a different perspective. What is that best way?
That's a great question. So let me share another story with you. So I had a client several years ago. He was a young man who was a personal fitness trainer. He was 25 at the time. And he was introduced to me by another fellow who had been my client who we'd really helped. That guy was on welfare and we took him to six figures in a few months, which was amazing. Yeah, it was amazing.
Huge. Crazy.
It is. Honestly, that's harder to do than anything. Take someone from a dead stop who's on welfare to like six figures. It was great. So
Life-changing, beyond belief.
it was. So this personal fitness trainer, his name was Dan, came to me and said, "Look, I hear you're good at helping people succeed in business. Can you help me?" And I said, "I don't know. Let's talk." And he told me a story. He had seven clients. He was charging like $25 an hour, which was nuts.
Right, that's
And he was making on a good month $1,200 a month, $1,300 a month. Now, I live in Toronto. This is the New York City of Canada. So just imagine the cost of living in Toronto. It's significant, right? $1,200 a month is not going to cut it. Most people, I mean, to have a comfortable life in Toronto, you really want to be bringing in four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 grand a month. I mean,
After taxes.
yeah.
I'm just saying.
2 grand a month would be somebody splitting, like, getting a room in the boarding house or a room in like a big house. You know what I mean? That's they pay 500, 800 bucks a month for. And then the rest of their money is going to go toward food and transport. And they really won't be saving anything with that, with 2 grand. So, I mean, 1200 was.
Definitely right.
So I asked him, I said, so Dan, how are you getting clients? And, you know, who are your clients? He said, well, I'm trying everything. And my clients are anybody with any health problem. I can help them lose weight, pack on muscle, get ready for a wedding, whatever. And as soon as he told me that, I knew exactly why he was failing in business. He really didn't have a strategy and he was willing to work with anybody. And it just doesn't really work. So let me show you a little something if I can.
Keep thinking about that saying, the riches are in the niches.
Riches are in the niches, girl. You got it. You are a rock star. You get it. So I did this little exercise, right? It's called the ideal client exercise. Who are the clients that are easiest to do business with, get you the best results, and you enjoy working with the most? I started to do this with Dan, and he waved it aside and said, I'm going to work with doctors. So I said, Dan, why doctors? He said, well, because you didn't do my exercise. He said, well, my dad's a doctor and I love my dad. Okay. Why else? Doctors make a lot of money, don't they? I'm like, they do, but you know, if that's your primary motivation for going after a niche market, it's probably not a good motivation. They're gonna feel that. He said, no, I'm gonna do it. He got two clients in 2 months. And I'm like, Danny, it's not working. He says, okay. Niche down more, right? Niche down more. I got a cardiologist, cardiologist. What? They make more money than doctors, Nikki. Danny, did you not hear what I was been telling you? No, I'm doing it. He got no cardiologist clients. Zero. But Jacqueline, the good Lord, saw fit to introduce him to a Paralympian athlete who'd lost a leg in a childhood accident. And Dan and this fellow, his name was Papito Wilson, they did great work together. Dan actually helped him win medals, even gold medals at major international competition. And so he comes to me and he says, Nikki, I owe you an apology. I said, okay, what for? And he said, well, you've been telling me not to be all about the money and I wasn't listening to you. And you were right, I was wrong. I said, good on you that you see that. He said, I'm not going to go after the money anymore. I want to actually work with people with missing limbs because I know how to help them. I can get them a really good result. I instantly knew this was good and right and righteous. And I told him so. So Jacqueline, he stopped going after the money and he started going to help people who really needed his help. Within 6 weeks, he signed up 400 clients. Word of mouth only, no ads, no online presence whatsoever. He didn't even have a website at the time.
400. That is a, I'm trying to think of the percentage. It's more than 400% increase in his client base because if he had like
It's
started with
almost a hundredfold. It's almost a hundredfold increase. So it's like 8, 9,000%. in Gleason's business. And he came to me after a client 30 and said, I can't do one-on-one fitness training anymore. Help. So we designed group programs and online programs so he could handle the volume. And his monthly run rate was over 100,000 a month without trying to go after money. Now, people always say, well, so how do you make this much money? I said, well, remember what I said way at the beginning about lead with love, lead with believing in people, caring about people, let them feel that. That's what Dan did. And put yourself in the shoes of someone with missing limbs. You probably, if that was you, you would not be thrilled that you were missing a limb or more than one limb. You would probably wish you had all your limbs. You probably would feel at least some level of resentment, some level of, I can't do everything someone who's fully able-bodied can do. I'm not the same as someone who's fully able-bodied. And that comparison wouldn't be a positive, it'd be a negative for almost everybody in that space. And other personal trainers would not go work with people with missing limbs because their thought was, well, they don't have arms and legs. How are they going to work out? So he went into a blue ocean. Are you familiar with the book Blue Ocean Strategy by professors René Marbejon and Chan Kim? And you're familiar with the theory of a blue ocean. He was in a literal blue ocean. And his message landed so powerfully with these folks because what he was telling them wasn't, I'm going to help you work out. What he was telling them was, I love you. I see you. I feel your pain. I know you. And who you are is someone magnificent. You're a child of God. You can do anything anyone else can do. And I'm going to help you prove it to yourself. That's why 400 people flocked to work with Dan.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that. So, Nikki, I could talk to you for hours, and I want to and I want everybody to go and reach out to you.
Thank
So,
you.
how can people connect with you?
Okay. I'm the only Nikki Ballou on the planet. So if you go on any social media, type in my name at NICKYBILLOU, and just, follow, connect, depending on whatever thing it is, go for it. I also have podcast, as you so graciously mentioned, Thought Leader Revolution, and I've written and published 11 books. Two of them are New York Times bestsellers, not because of me, but because of my co-author, who's way more famous than I am. And those 11 books are a great way to learn. I believe leaders are readers. And if you've enjoyed my talk today, I strongly recommend you do a deep dive into my books and my podcasts. And then the next thing you could do, or the first thing, depending on where you're at, is if you really are like stuck somewhere in your business and you're looking for some help and you're just wondering to yourself, I just don't want to be with another goddamn charlatan again. Excuse my French.
No, it's all good. It's true.
Jump on my calendar. Let's have a talk. Go to ecircleacademy.com/appointment. Let me know you came from Jacqueline's show. Fill out the application form, but I'll say yes to you no matter what you put on the form. But fill it out anyways, because there's good information from there I need on how to formulate questions and ask you the right things. And that's how you can connect with me and get in touch with me. And I'm one of those people who actually loves people, loves to talk. I'm now on actually over 800 podcasts. And one of the reasons I go on so many shows is because I love talking to people, man. I love these host-to-host conversations.
I love it. So, listeners, I need you to go and connect with Nikki. And seriously, go. I will put all of the links and links to the books in the show notes. But please do connect. I mean, this is so important. There are so many great topics that we have covered and shared. And, at the end of the day, what you're doing has to come from your heart, and you have to be excited about it and know that what you're doing, it's not about the money. It's about making people happy with what you're doing and you feeling good about it. The rest will follow. It's like, how many people have said, if you love what you're doing, you're never working a day in your life. And it's the same thing about the money. If you want to have and be unstoppable in success and be unstoppable in what you are doing, start and lead with your heart.
It's so true.
So,
So
Nikki,
true.
thank you so much for being an amazing guest. And thank you for your sharing your story and your, I should say, your story, your backstory, where you've come from, because that is also really important in today's day and age. And sharing all that you're doing, because you are making a huge difference in this world.
Thank you.
Listeners, again, do me the favor of connecting with Nikki, and then please share this podcast with your friends, your family, your colleagues, and other people, because this is a message that everyone needs to hear. So thank you. I'm Jacqueline Stominger. I'm the host of Unstoppable Success. Thank you, listeners. And again, once more, thank you, Nikki.
Thanks for having me. Really great to be here.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me on the Unstoppable Success podcast, where we don't just talk about growth, we leap toward it. If something today lit a fire within you, sparked a new idea, or gave you the extra push forward, please don't keep it to yourself. Share this episode and podcast with a friend, colleague, or fellow high achiever. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review, and most importantly, connect with me, Jacqueline Strominger, at leaptoyoursuccess.com for coaching, community, and your next bold move. Keep leading with intention, keep building your network with purpose, and most of all, keep leaping, because you were meant to be unstoppable.